Hare Krishna. Okay, here we are at a Guru Prabhu's reading some of the questions we have. And what's the first one? And who?
This is from Matsya Das. Trying to understand the connection and interrelation between gambling and mental speculation. Prabhupada says that both of them destroy the religious pillar of truthfulness, and he thinks both of them originate from illusion and impersonalism, but he can't understand the correlation, how they're related.
Prabhupada would use them interchangeably, or he would mention them together as something that we need to stay away from. Obviously, that gambling is a physical activity where you're simply speculating on the chances of something happening rather than acting in the way that Vaishnavas are meant to act, which is on the basis of truth. And mental speculation is doing the same thing. It's guesswork going on just on a more subtle plane. So in that sense, they're both very similar. One is gross, one is subtle, acting outside of the guidelines of reality, shastra, truth, and it's just like the scientist's version of, you know, maybe things happen by chance. So it's continuing that same type of illusory conduct. What else?
Follow-up question, same topic, is Prabhupada used to mention it at initiation as one of the vows, or and it doesn't get mentioned anymore.
Which?
No mental speculation.
That's an oversight, if that's the case. I can't remember right offhand.
Okay, next one.
Yeah.
Yuvaraj Das mentions a verse from Bhagavad Gita about when one's intelligence, mind, faith and refuge are all fixed in the Supreme, one becomes fully cleansed of misgivings through complete knowledge, proceeds straight on the path of liberation. And then he mentions the famous verse, by regular attendance in Bhagavatam, all that's troublesome to the heart. So his question is, if the Gita says they're completely cleansed and the Bhagavatam says almost completely cleansed, what's there left for full, complete cleanliness? What's there left to be cleansed?
No, the idea is that those activities completely cleanse, but there are stages in which the cleansing takes place, and first the naishtaki, first the cleansing becomes naishtaki. And then there's a sequence of Bhagavatam verses that come after, and by that same activity, then the next stage takes place, the first of functions. Anishta Bhajana Kriya, and then like that. Next one is Tado Rajas. Then it says, then as one continues that same process here in Srimad Bhagavatam, the next step. So one is a all-encompassing statement, and the other one is a sequence of statements in which the process takes place.
Same person, Yuvaraj, says, in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, Narada shows that he's aware of the Lord's future pastimes. Interestingly, Keshi represents the feeling I am a great devotee and spiritual master. Why is Narad glorifying the future activities of the Lord? Is he posing himself as a smart devotee or one that knows the Lord's future activities? Or should we glorify someone's future agenda?
Narada is not someone who thinks himself to be great. He's a liberated soul, eternally liberated soul. So he's a humble person, but he's glorifying Krishna by describing the many, many pastimes and activities that he will do. And he also reminds him that yes, and you're going to also have to leave Vrindavan as well, which Krishna doesn't really like to hear so much. But Narada is a very confidential person because he's so confidential. Therefore, he plays different roles, like accelerating Krishna's appearance by telling Kamsa about all the about his past life and so on, and really riling him up. And should we glorify what someone's going to do? Well, we don't know what someone's going to do. We're not Narada, so how do I know what someone's going to do? And generally, Vaishnavas glorify other Vaishnavas on the basis of what they've done. And that's what Pitu Maharaj says, although there, the sages also say, yes, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. And Pitu Maharaj takes the role of an ordinary person or a king, and he says, well, so don't glorify me until I've done something. That's generally how Vaishnavas glorify others. And then
Vishaka asks, how and why do people become ghosts, and how do ghosts become liberated?
People become ghosts when they're too attached to their bodies and they just won't let go, or they become too attached to material bodies. And that's one reason why sort of rightly you see these ideas of cemeteries being a places where ghosts gather, because the bodies aren't, as in the case of a cremation, cremated. And when you cremate the body, there's nothing left. And that's the whole idea, that then the person will continue on. And then, of course, when someone has too strong material attachment, even if he may be cremated, but still he remains a ghost, or he's performed some very sinful activity by which he deserves to get the body of a ghost. So that's the unfortunate state. And there's a planet of ghosts not far away from our planet. I think only 100 yojanas, only 800 miles away. It's another invisible planet, but it's there. And ghosts become liberated by eating prasadam, by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, by associating with pure devotees. Same way as everyone else becomes liberated, they're just some other conditioned souls in another type of body. And they get to move on. And that's why there's the whole concept of pinda. So that if my forefathers are stuck in some kind of no man's land, then by offering them Vishnu Prasad, that they become liberated from that condition. Okay, last one.
Vishaka says again, Krishna says that everyone is in him, but he is not in them. But she thought that he was in us as a super soul. What does he mean in that verse?
So everything is in me.
Everyone is in him, but he is not in them.
Where does he say everyone is in me and conscious, everything is in the annihilation. But in any case, even the Supersoul is different than Krishna. Supersoul is still just a partial representation of Krishna. Although Krishna is, for instance, Brahma Samhita says that Pandantarasya Parma Nuchantarasya, Krishna is present in everything in his fullness, in every atom, in a very real sense. And but in terms of the Super Soul is a partial representation of Krishna, not a full representation of Krishna. But on the other hand, there's something very Krishna conscious, like Brahmananda Roy Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, then he sees Krishna everywhere and everyone and in everything. So it's also a general state of consciousness. Okay, that's it. Now we'll do the same in Hungarian. Let's see how good your Hungarian is. Hare Krishna.